all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota. It's another beautiful day up north, albeit a little wet. It's Thursday, April 27th, 2023. It is, according to my Apple Watch anyway, 45 degrees. And why would my watch lie to me? 45 degrees in Chippewa Falls, with rain slowly moving out of the area and what appears on the radar to be some light snow moving out of northeast Wisconsin, to which we can only say, ugh. Coming up on the program, you'd better slash veterans care or we're going to kill the U.S. economy. You figure it out. Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives have been threatening to cause a government default, which would trigger a national recession unless President Biden agreed to massive spending cuts, to which Biden said to the Republicans, you go first. And they just did. On Wednesday, Republicans voted for a plan with punishing cuts to veterans' health care, assistance for children with disabilities, repeal tax credits that could cost thousands of jobs. I don't believe they rolled back any of the billionaire tax credits from 2017. We will report on how Wisconsin Republicans voted for this turkey, and we'll talk more with Joe Zepecki coming up later this hour. Then we have a special guest in the next hour. The CHIPS Act marks a major American commitment to step up research and manufacturing of high-tech components in the U.S. so that we're not reliant on foreign suppliers. The program includes designating some areas as regional technology hubs, and Senator Tammy Baldwin is pushing the Biden administration to give that designation to Wisconsin. We will talk to her about the CHIPS Act, regional technology hubs, also her proposal to expand veteran services offices all across the country, protect women's health care rights, and much more. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us at about 7:15. Just prior to that, we'll hear from Dr. Kristen Lierley. We are pushing hometown health off until tomorrow because of the visit from Senator Baldwin, but we'll still talk to Kristen at the top of our 7 o'clock hour as she is getting set to take part in a bill signing today when the Reproductive Health Defense Act becomes law. Unfortunately, it's becoming the law in Minnesota, but still, she'll be at the bill signing today because, well, thanks to Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban, it has forced her and other docs to care for patients elsewhere. She's seen rural patients in Minnesota now. She's gotten to know some legislators there and Governor Tim Walz. They see what a leader she's been for women, for families, for privacy rights, for rural health care. So it's no surprise that when we talk to her at the start of the next hour, it'll be from St. Paul, with a good doctor and a good bill, just not our state, at least not yet. And then, as always, Luke Mathers is scheduled to join us Thursday at 7:50, but you know, we never know where the wayward Mr. Mathers will be at any given point. So all of that and more just ahead on this Thursday morning. Aaron Zommers is standing by. He'll take your calls later today when we give away Brewers tickets. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. I'm excited to give away some more great tickets.
I know, now that we know how good these tickets are. And I'd made the executive decision a few minutes ago, and only folks listening to The Secret Show on Facebook know, that I could not come up with enough easy Brewers trivia questions, you know, to give away all these tickets. So we're going to expand it to Wisconsin trivia. So I've got a Wisconsin trivia question coming up at 6:50. First person to call in with the correct response is going to win two tickets to tomorrow night's game at American Family Field against the Anaheim Angels. So you have to be in a position where we can email you the tickets, that you will use the tickets. And these are great seats. So I'm giving you a day to plan for it in case you want to go on a little road trip. It would definitely be worth your time. So keep the phone number in mind. We're going to have you call 844-967-2789 when the time comes to answer that trivia question later this hour. Aaron, I woke up once in the middle of the night. I realized that I went to sleep well before the Bucks game was over. And I thought I would look at my phone and see if the Bucks won or lost, and then decided to go back to bed. And so for a moment there, the scientific principle would be they were Schrodinger's Bucks. They either were or were not any longer in the playoffs.
And I don't know which one it is. So for me, they're still that.
They're still Schrodinger's Bucks. So really, I should make your way to the official sports at 6:15. But I'm not going to, because I need to. All those folks who are commiserating, who are up early after staying up late, it was another collapse for the ages in Milwaukee Bucks franchise history. Apparently it went to overtime. The Bucks then lost in overtime, and they're out. We'll have details coming up in a couple of minutes here, but yeah, the Bucks are out of the playoffs, had the best record in the NBA's regular season, and they could not get it done against the Miami Heat. So we'll have details on that. I'm just so impressed, Aaron, that I know you hear it in the big city down there in Madison, but it's so great at this hour hearing there's birds already singing outside the window here.
That's,
you know, the Cardinals are back in full force. It's a nice thing.
It is very nice. Every morning getting up, going out to the car and being able to just hang out with the birds for a moment.
Yeah. It's nice that even on a cloudy day like this, to have it being this bright is a good thing. Also, one note from TV last night, we mentioned it was Carol Burnett's 90th birthday, and there was a great special about Carol Burnett and her show from over the years, which had been on CBS for all those years. The show was on NBC. And I know there's probably more behind the scenes about how producers package specials and sell them to networks, but I mean, come on, CBS, you dropped the ball. You had a legend there, and a whole lot of folks were watching that on NBC last night. Some of those skits still make you cry. They're so great. All right, we'll take a look at some headlines around Wisconsin coming up in just a bit, especially that turkey of a bill that would slash spending all in the name of protecting tax cuts for the rich. That's next on Up North News Radio for this Thursday. Coming up about an hour from now will be Senator Tammy Baldwin talking about the growing new high technology jobs here in Wisconsin. Let's see. I want to take a look at one of the comments that came up here from Roger. It says Giannis missed too many free throws. There were a lot of things that were missed in the Bucks as they entered the playoffs with the NBA's best record, believing they had a great shot at winning their second title in three seasons, and instead they are done before May after one of the most stunning first-round playoff losses in NBA history. The Bucks collapsed in the fourth quarter in the last game, and they collapsed again in the fourth quarter last night, losing 128-126 in overtime and losing 4-1 to the Miami Heat, the eighth-seeded team in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks were up 16 points, it says here in the fourth quarter, and then they just had no answer for Mr. Butler, who scored with half a second left to force overtime. The Bucks are only the sixth number one seed to lose to a number eight in the opening round. The difference is the five other number one seeds had won at least two games in the first round of the playoffs, so this might actually be the biggest playoff collapse. Well, one of the biggest ever in the NBA playoffs. All right. To happier news for Brewers fans, backup catcher Victor Caratini and rookie Joey Weimer homered, and they backed up Freddie Peralta, and the Brewers beat the Tigers 6-2 Wednesday afternoon. And that stopped a 3-game losing streak. Peralta allowed two unearned runs and just four hits over six innings. He had a season high 8 strikeouts and no walks. Then there's Detroit's Miguel Cabrera, a legend, a sure first ballot Hall of Famer. He's retiring at the end of the season, so he gets what is most definitely due for somebody who has, I mean, there are so few on baseball's Mount Rushmore, 3,000 hits and 500 home runs, you know, more in both of those categories. So as part of this farewell tour, Miggy was given a $5,000 check from the Brewers to his charitable foundation. And in return, there's a great picture of Miguel Cabrera donning a foam cheese head for a brief ceremony before the game. Just a class act there. The Brewers are off today, but they're staying home. Again, they're playing the Anaheim Angels starting tomorrow night for a 3-game series. Wade Miley, 3 wins, 1 loss, will get the start for the Brewers. If you're a Civic Media listener, you can hear the Brewers by tuning in to Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, all throughout the Fox Valley. You can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. Then we will be again giving away two tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Anaheim Angels coming up about a half hour from now. One more sports note. Did you, Aaron, happen to see Aaron Rodgers get introduced to the New York Jets in a press conference yesterday?
I did not. I heard his going away note that you read yesterday, but I did not check out the press conference.
And I'm not going to dwell on it either. Again, we wish him well. He had some kind of a goofy statement about, you know, the reason there were communication issues is that he only answers FaceTime calls or something like that. Well,
why would you even
we'll
say
maybe
that?
Find a, I don't know. Why even go back there? Just look forward. Look forward. You know, he said he walked in that yesterday morning to the Jets facility and saw the Super Bowl III trophy there, the one won by Joe Namath. And he said he noticed the trophy and he says it's looking a little lonely, which is nice. It's a little, you know, way to pump up the fan base. But then when asked about the Jets playoff drought, which is at 12 seasons now, the longest active skid in the NFL, and Rodgers says, I'm not here to be a savior of any kind. You just said the Super Bowl trophy was looking lonely. You've got an entire New York fan base looking for you to be the savior, and you say, I'm not here to be a savior of any kind. I mean, talk about saying, I'm just here to cash the checks, kids. You know, I'll throw the ball. We'll see where it goes from there.
Just after he seemed so much more in touch from that letter.
I know. He had the very, very clean cut look, you know, at the press conference. But then I noticed, you know, the look early on as he was walking into the facility, where again, you know, kind of still looked like he had just rolled out of bed. So, you know, the press people, you know, at the Jets facility were like, okay, let's clean him up. And he does clean up real nice, but he doesn't stay that way. And I would not spend a lot of that. Don't spend the extra money for some NFL package just so you can watch Jets games. You know, I would say just let him go. Wish him well, right?
You can catch the highlights and the interceptions and stuff on YouTube.
Yes, the interceptions and stuff is right. All right, let's turn to headlines. And the big one, of course, is what's happening with, you know, the debt ceiling. And again, that sounds like a boring topic, but the reason it's important is that if Republicans in Congress actually allow the U.S. government to default on its obligations, it's going to cause a recession. It might be a short one, but a recession, as in many job cuts, many opportunities lost. Your 401k is going to take a hit, a hard hit, if this thing doesn't get resolved. And it's not Joe Biden's job to save the Republicans from themselves. You have some of the most extreme members of Congress imaginable who are absolutely serious about this game of chicken, as if, you know, the president will say, well, to save the country, I'm going to slash healthcare for veterans. To save the economy, I'm going to slash, you know, disability aid to children and all that. No, Biden said, you do it. Let's see your plan. Because you shouldn't have to negotiate the debt ceiling. That's paying the bills that Congress had already authorized. If you want to slash new spending in the next budget, that's fine. But Republicans are saying, nope, we have to see cuts right now. President Biden said, okay, you go first. And where they went and where Wisconsin Republicans and others voted on, as it passed on pretty much a party line vote, just a handful of Republicans, I think, voted against it. But basically, here's what Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile and Mike Gallagher and Scott Fitzgerald and Glenn Grothman voted for. An estimated 190,000 Wisconsinites would lose access to food assistance. 4,500 kids would lose preschool and childcare slots. Wisconsin veterans would lose 116,000 doctor visits for issues like mental health and substance disorder treatment. It's a bill called the Limit, Save, Grow Act of 2023. Democrats are calling it the Default on America Act. And again, here's the thing. And I know you've heard me harp on this a lot, but it's worth mentioning again, whether we're talking about Congress here or the legislature. This isn't the thing that's going to pass. Okay, the Senate is controlled by Democrats. They're not going to pass this bill. President Biden's not going to sign this bill. You could have put out any measure of an opening proposal that's more responsible, and you put this out. I mean, the Republicans in the House, you have now written the commercials that will be used to paint Derek Van Orden as out of touch with the district. And now here's the thing. Derek Van Orden was quoted in like the Washington Post and some other media as one of those folks who was hesitant to come on board, but then got some kind of commitment on some energy tax credits because he says, you know, ethanol is important to farmers. So that really counts against him in two ways. First, it shows he's just any other typical politician. You know, he talks tough, but, you know, if you give him a little something of what he wants, he'll back down and he'll fall in line, you know, with what Kevin McCarthy and all the other extremists are demanding. And on top of that, what he's saying is, I'm going to protect these credits for some farmers, but you veterans in the 3rd Congressional District, well, sorry, we got to cut your health care. Sorry, families, we've got to cut some of the other programs that you rely on. Sorry, the older adults who need rental assistance or face poverty, you know, we're going to have to cut you. It just goes on and on as Derek Van Orden and Mike Gallagher and Brian Stile and the rest say to their constituents, this is what we want in return for not causing a recession. This is what we want as an opening salvo to a future budget. These are our priorities. And they can talk a good game all day long about spending cuts, that, you know, we spend too much. But the fact is, a lot of that spending, what you would call spending, are those immense tax cuts for the very wealthy that were passed in 2017. You'll recall Ron Johnson was initially against, he said he was against Donald Trump's tax cut plan until he got a better sweetheart deal in there for businesses organized like the one he owned at the time. And so he got that in. It benefited a couple of Wisconsin billionaires immensely. They put some of that money into campaign ads that helped Ron Johnson win an otherwise unwinnable race. So here's what you're not hearing. You're not hearing Ron Johnson say, let's roll back those tax credits. Let's not roll back those tax cuts. Instead, and I've run out of time to play it here. I'll try to play it later on. He made what could be the most inane comments about global warming at a hearing yesterday. Aaron, we don't have time for the full cut, but go ahead and start it. And we'll just, when we get sick of it, we'll have to let it go. This was Ron Johnson yesterday on a report about climate change. Nope. We might not have it ready. We can come back to it.
I actually found that chart of yours somewhat comforting for at least America. When you take a look at the mortality risk, again, these are all projections. I don't put any stock in them whatsoever. In terms of excess deaths, a warming globe is actually beneficial. In my own state, your study shows that we'd have a reduction in mortality of somewhere between 54 and 56 people per, I guess it's 100,000. Why wouldn't we take comfort in that?
So thanks for the question, Senator Johnson. And what the work shows and the chart is that the effects of climate change are going to be very unequal. And absolutely, Wisconsin, Chicago, where I live, the reduction in cold days, the benefits from that will outweigh the damages from the hot days. But if you look more carefully at that, there's large swatches of the country where the damages will be much larger.
But again, if you want to balance it all out globally, if you're trying to mitigate harm globally, isn't it true that the number of deaths, according to this Lancet study, the number of deaths caused by heat are 600,000 per year, deaths caused by cold are 4.5 million annually? In terms of global health, in terms of excess death, we're actually in a better position to prevent death by having the climate increase in temperature a little bit,
so,
right?
Senator, I'm not familiar with that study. What I am familiar with is my study.
And then the scientist goes on to talk more about his study, which Ron Johnson looks at it and says, yeah, more people, he says later in the bite, will die in Africa and things like that, but fewer people will actually die in Wisconsin. He says, why wouldn't we take comfort in that? Wow. I mean, talk about, you know, why don't the excess people, you know, why don't they die and decrease the surplus population? It's something right out of Ebenezer Scrooge. We'll revisit this a little later, I'm quite sure, but we are up against a break, and we are going to talk to Joe Zepecki coming up next about headlines in the news. We'll be back. You're up north.
This girl's ready to paint the town. Tonight ain't nothing going to slow me down.
Since I was here. 6:33 now. It's Thursday morning. This is Up North News Radio, and time to resume our weekly visits with Joe Zepecki after a week off. Good morning. How are you? Was it a great trip?
I'm tanned, ready, and I don't know about rested after a long day of travel back, but we're ready to go, ready to get back into the fray.
I don't know that many people come back from vacation seriously and go, yep, batteries are all recharged, because there's travel and, you know, just the whole dread of resuming life. But you appear to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, at least, you know, well enough for radio, or at least for my show, and I appreciate that. The story that, of course, broke this week was President Biden announcing that he's running for a second term, and that's all fine and good. We've mentioned it here before, but for your purposes, I wanted to basically get the Joe Biden case for Wisconsin. You know, Donald Trump won the state very narrowly in 2016. Joe Biden won the state very narrowly in 2020. What's the case he's going to make to get a landslide and maybe win by 22,000 votes instead of 21,000 votes next time?
Well, hey, if Governor Tony Evers was able to triple his margin of victory between 2018 and 2022, I think we can set the same goal for President Joe Biden on his reelect campaign. I'm fired up. I'm happy to see they formally, you know, we knew this was coming, but the fact that it's off to the races is a good thing. And I think the case is pretty straightforward. This is a president that is delivering for Wisconsin and for this country in a real return to normalcy. It doesn't mean every problem has been solved, but it means that we're on the right track. The economy is creating jobs at a blistering pace. We have seen landmark legislative accomplishments a long time coming and long overdue, ranging from the infrastructure bill, a bipartisan supported piece of legislation to rebuild America's roads, runways, and railways. We saw the CHIPS and Science Act to turbocharge American manufacturing, make us more competitive in the tech, you know, high tech industry, which is absolutely essential in terms of competing with China. The Inflation Reduction Act will turbocharge development and deployment of renewable energy. It's addressing healthcare costs in ways that had been, you know, really bedeviling Congresses and presidents alike for 30 years. Medicare can finally use its bulk purchasing power to negotiate for lower drug costs. These are wins that the American people have been asking for, that the last president was not able to deliver on. This president got it done, as he said in the State of the Union address, as he said in his announcement video. It's time to finish the job. And you can't finish the job if you switch horses and go back to the other guy.
Well, especially since the other guy set aside the public opinion polls. You know, we get it. These are folks that, you know, neither one of them is going to have 70% approval rating in this kind of a country. But instead of the polling, look at the performance. And we're talking about somebody, if Trump were to be the nominee, to say, I guess we're going back to, is it infrastructure week yet? Because he never delivered on there. And where's that big, beautiful Obamacare replacement plan? Because that never came. So really, if it does come down to performance rather than polling, you'd think the president has a case to make in Wisconsin.
Oh, no question. And listen, that Trump is right now the leader, the far and away leader to be the Republican nominee. And so we're looking at a rematch. I don't think that's what, you know, every American wanted to see. but it sure sets up a nice contrast. And I think the one that even beyond the policy differences, the styles of the two men. When Donald Trump was president, it was all about him. It was chaos. It was noise. Joe Biden's presidency hasn't been about Joe Biden. It's been about delivering for the American people. And I think he can make that case. I think there'll be lots of people out making that case credibly that it hasn't been noise. It hasn't been chaos. That's not what it should be. What it ought to be is coming together and finding ways to work together. And this president has been able to do that. He got bipartisan gun safety legislation passed. And again, none of these are panaceas that are going to address every challenge that American families are facing. But at least we're getting the car back on the tracks and heading in the right direction. That's a stark contrast to the madness we saw of the Trump presidency.
All right. So if you were giving the pep talk to Democrats and progressives, that's what you'd say. Now let's throw a bucket of cold water on all that, because, again, narrow margins. So make the case that progressives and Democrats shouldn't get too cocky just because they comfortably won a state Supreme Court seat and did all right in the midterms. Is Joe Biden going to coast to victory in Wisconsin?
Of course not. And by the way, he's not the only really important person on the ballot next year. We've also got incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin up for re-election. She's going to have a tough contest. And listen, what Democrats in Wisconsin have learned is not to take anything for granted and to always run like you're 10 points down. That's the approach that the Biden team, the Baldwin team, that everybody needs to take, because we have seen what can happen when we get complacent, when we sit on our hands and go, it's somebody else's turn to carry the load. And what do we get? We lose a Supreme Court race by 6,000 votes. We lose a presidential contest that people thought was in the bag by 20,000 votes. We cannot take that for granted. And I think people have really woken up to that, particularly in the wake of the Dobbs decision. There are so many people who are saying, you know what? I don't care who's going to win, who's going to lose. I'm going out there and I'm going to let my voice be heard. That's the same kind of approach that we have to take into 2024.
You mentioned earlier that the president would run on the Inflation Reduction Act and things in there in terms of green energy credits, that there, you know, all of the various elements that are in there. And yet this week, Republicans are getting very close to working on their version of some kind of a debt ceiling package, which I think at the very top of the list is repeal the Inflation Reduction Act. I don't know that I see the wisdom in that, except to, it's kind of like own the libs. They want to own Biden by repealing something he did, but that would come with consequences.
Well, it would. And as of Wednesday afternoon, anyways, we have some breaking news today that a group of congressional Republicans from the upper Midwest were able to get those rollbacks of renewable energy subsidies and tax credits taken out of the legislation. So it appears that this bill, which is not going anywhere, Senate Democrats are not going to pass this, this farce of a debt ceiling bill that Kevin McCarthy is going to shoehorn through the House. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
But so it's not going anywhere. They don't have the votes. And even if they did, the president would veto it. So we should celebrate and remind everyone of all of the progress made in the Inflation Reduction Act. A lot of what you're hearing out of Washington this week is just noise, but it's important noise because it really illustrates the priorities of Wisconsin Republicans like Derek Van Orden, who came out Wednesday afternoon and said, I'm a yes vote on this legislation. What does that mean? It means that he's okay with an up to 22% cut to the VA, to veterans healthcare and veterans services, to massive cuts to Medicaid in this country. And so, as messaging bills go, which is what this is all an effort to get, to the negotiating table, because President Biden has rightly been able to say, hey, guys, I showed you my budget. Where's yours? And what they're saying is, we are not prepared to ask the wealthiest Americans to pay a few more pennies on the dollar. What we would rather do is cut veterans services, cut health care for poor people in this country. Okay, that's a choice, and they're telling the American people that that's what their choice is.
And that same kind of strategy of let's try to cut our way to prosperity is being seen at the legislative level as well. Also with Medicaid, the legislative Republicans' top priority this week was a package of bills, several of which would make it either harder for struggling families to get onto Badger Care or easier to kick them off. They also worked very hard on the Senate side on making the case for a flat tax. Meanwhile, Democratic legislators said, you know, there are all these other ways that you could address the worker shortage and that you could help working families here. This really seemed to be a week of contrasts in terms of values and positions.
Yeah, and that's okay. We have these debates, and when, the more people know where the two sides stand, I think the easier it is for voters to kind of figure out where their values lie and who's more in step with them. And what we're seeing on, you know, on a roll of 14 out of 17 statewide elections going Democrats' way is the people don't want what Republicans in elected office prioritize. The people of Wisconsin want to see Medicaid expansion. They want to get some of those tax dollars back from the feds, because right now we're subsidizing healthcare in 40 other states that have expanded Medicaid to be able to expand the eligibility requirements. What that would do is actually free up thousands of Wisconsinites to work additional hours. We're doing an event this week with Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez as part of Protect Our Care, where we will hear from employers saying, I've got people on staff. And by the way, it's not always easy to find staff, but they have to limit their hours because if they fall into the coverage gap, they're toast. And so this would actually be really, really good for the economy and good for the overall state budget, because it would bring billions of dollars back that we could invest in other priorities. That's the choice that, again, Speaker Voss and legislative Republicans in Wisconsin time and time again have said, no, 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 even though 40 other states have seen the wisdom of expanding the Medicaid program.
Joe, what are the odds in the legislature that Republicans, along with all of that, also try to put forward constitutional amendments that would basically enshrine Act 10 and two parallel school systems in Wisconsin through voucher schools, put that into the Constitution, put it before the voters, so that either a progressive state Supreme Court or a future legislature can't roll them back? Is that a viable option for them, or is that just speculation about constitutional mischief?
Well, I think it's maybe wish casting on their part.
Wish casting, I like that.
Yeah, and listen, they believe in those policies really, really strongly. And it is within the rules of the game to say, okay, this is so important and fundamental that something we believe in should be in the Constitution. If they think that the ideas themselves and the outcome of those policies do not on the merits mean that they will continue to be enacted for generations to come, what I would suggest is maybe they're missing the point, which is if these things are so susceptible to being rolled back, maybe they're not working. And so, you know, they're welcome to try. They're welcome to do it. It just seems like they're missing the point of what Wisconsin voters are saying, which is that ain't who we are. And so, you know, good luck to them. The left knows how to win elections in this state. And I have a much confidence that if those things were put before voters, it might not go the way Wisconsin Republicans want. So they should be careful what they wish for.
6:46 now, we're talking to Joe Zepecki, and I got time for one more question. Ron Johnson again calling for a statewide referendum on abortion, which is still not a thing. We don't have statewide referendum capabilities here in the state when it comes to like amending the Constitution and such. Has nobody told him yet?
I think they have. Okay. Here's the little inside knowledge for your listeners. And I'm not going to say I've never pulled this move. When you know your boss is wrong about something, and you know that the public doesn't want to hear what they have to say because what they believe is so out of step, you give them some nonsense to just fill space with, because they know that at some point the questioner is going to move on. That's what this is. That's all this is. It is nonsense. Senator Johnson knows it's nonsense. His team knows it's nonsense. But he also knows that he can filibuster by just going back to this same goofy idea. And all that voters should understand, all the public should understand, is it's because he knows he's totally out of step. It's because he knows he's wrong on this and he doesn't have anything actually productive to say. There are, listen, to their credit, there are other Republicans in this country and in this state who have said, we need to update the 1849 law. This is too much. Senator Johnson can't bring himself to say that because he's wrong. And so instead of actually addressing the issue, he's just going to filibuster. Man, that the businessman from Oshkosh has really taken to the swamp, hasn't he?
Indeed. Joe Sopecki, thank you so much. Welcome back. Good to have you here. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you next week.
We should note that again, because we did that conversation yesterday afternoon. Since that time, well, at the time, we thought maybe Kevin McCarthy will have trouble getting that bill through his caucus. People were making demands. Eventually, it did. It did indeed pass, turkey as it is, and we'll have much more to say about it in the coming days. We'll take a history lesson, a music break, and give away a couple of Brewers tickets next. You're up north. All right, listen to this fellow coming up here. Lead singer of The Main Ingredients.
Okay, so your heart broke. You sit around hoping, crying, crying. You say you even thinking about dying? Well, before you do anything rash.
Do we know who this is?
Dig this.
Here's the thing. It's this fellow, the anniversary of his birth. He's the lead singer of Main Ingredient. I've heard the song 10,000 times. Love the song. Love his voice. Guess I never knew who the lead singer was for Main Ingredient.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You familiar with the actor Cuba Gooding Jr.? From Jerry Maguire and other movies, this is Cuba Gooding Sr. I had no idea.
Wow.
No idea till last night when I was looking this up. That's Cuba Gooding Sr., who passed away 6 years ago, just before his 73rd birthday. He was born on this day in 1944. All right, while that plays in the background, we're going to interrupt this just briefly because we got tickets to give away. Two tickets to tomorrow night's game, and all you've got to do is be the first to answer a Wisconsin trivia question. So call in at 844-967-2789 if you can use the tickets for tomorrow night. They're great tickets. And if they can be emailed to you, and let the phone ring because Aaron's also pushing buttons here for music and trivia, so he'll get to your phone calls. Here's the question. This Wisconsin county produces nearly all of the ginseng grown in the U.S. and about 10% of the world's supply of ginseng is grown in what county? 844-967-2789. First one through who would like two free tickets to American Family Field for tomorrow night's Brewer game. You call on in, and Aaron will pick up the phone in just a bit. But first, back to the history and the birthdays. 1822, Ulysses S. Grant, the 18th president, was born on this day. Casey Kasem was born on this day in 1932, of course, from American Top 40, and he was Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. He passed away in 2014. This is an interesting musical history note. On this day in 2002, it marked the first time since 1963 that there was not a single British act on the U.S. Hot 100 chart. Not the Top 40 chart, the Top 100 chart. No British acts. It was not a great time for British music, apparently, this week in 2002. From the time the Beatles came on board till then, there'd always been a British group there. I love this woman's voice coming up next. Happy 75th birthday to B-52's founding member, Kate Pearson. And then a little earlier, we heard from Ace Frehley from Kiss singing New York Groove. He is 72 years old today. Patrick Stump, the lead singer of Fall Out Boy, he is 39 years old today. Sheena Easton from Glasgow, Scotland, she is 64 years old today. And I've got one more birthday to share, Melissa Jefferson. That could have been a trivia question, too. You don't know her as Melissa Jefferson? No, you know her as Lizzo. A happy birthday to Lizzo.
Kind of in that same vocal range, if you will, Joe Cocker made his TV debut on this day in 1969 on The Ed Sullivan Show, singing Feeling All Right. And then a little bit earlier, we heard the Judds singing Girls' Night Out. That's because on this day in 1985, the Judds scored their second number one hit from their debut album. The album was called Why Not Me? And then the second number one hit from it peaked on this day in 1985, Girls' Night Out. See, I got one more history note to tell you about. It is on this day in 2012, President Barack Obama awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Bob Dylan. That is the highest honor that can be bestowed upon an American civilian. And Bob Dylan was the 29th musician to receive it in pretty good company. Some guy named Sinatra. There was, you know, Aretha Franklin, Irving Berlin, and then Bob Dylan getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom on this day in 2012. Aaron's working the phones really hard there, as you can see on Facebook, where we had the question, where in which county is nearly all the ginseng grown in the U.S., and it's also about 10% of the world's supply, a very popular item in Asia, and we export a lot of it from this northern Wisconsin county that we will be telling you all about with an answer as he furiously works the phones to tell us if we have a winner for Brewers tickets. And by the way, we'll do it again tomorrow. Tomorrow's what? Now, tomorrow, it's also for tomorrow night's game. So if you're up for winning these tickets tomorrow, these great seats at American Family Field, and can have the tickets emailed to you, stick around because two more tickets tomorrow, but you have to go to the game tomorrow. So if you're calling in from, you know, Bull Falls Radio up in Marathon County, you'd have to make a big drive. So be aware of that. Let's see. I haven't peeked over at Aaron there. Aaron, do we have a winner or do we just have some unlucky guessers so far?
We had a couple of, we had one unlucky guesser and one person who had the right answer, but unfortunately it already won tickets this month. And
That's
a good thing to bring up for everybody is that the way we're doing it is once a month while we're doing these tickets, you can call in and win.
So they're still available.
That they are.
Oh my gosh. I hope I didn't give anybody a hint that they would call in at 844-967-2789. But it's out there. If you can tell us which county produces nearly all the ginseng grown in the U.S. and about 10% of the world's supply. Again, two tickets for tonight's game that can be emailed to you, 844-967.
For tomorrow's game, right?
For tomorrow's game. Yeah. Did I say that wrong?
You said tonight's game.
Oh, tomorrow it'll be tonight's game. Meaning not tonight, but you know, tomorrow. I got four tickets to Friday night's game. I'm giving two away today and two away tomorrow, and they're both to the Friday night game. So, all right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Normally, she is talking from somewhere in rural Minnesota. Well, initially, she was talking from the Green Bay area, where she's practicing OBGYN. But in light of the state's 1849 abortion ban, she has been taking on some gigs in other places that don't treat women's health care as, you know, don't treat women as second-class citizens. And so she's been practicing in rural Minnesota. She's been getting to know people out there. And that includes some legislators who have been working with Governor Tim Walz, and they have been pushing through quite an agenda for, you know, things that are beneficial to the state, beneficial to the economy, and beneficial to women. A bill called the Reproductive Health Defense Act is going to be signed today, and Dr. Lyerly was invited to be a part of that, and so she will be at the ceremony there. Apparently, we've got a right winner, and I got all of 10 seconds. Oscar, do you want to come on and tell me where all that ginseng is grown? Are you with us, Oscar?
Oh, yeah, Marathon County.
Oh, but there you go. You got it. Hey, thanks so much for calling in. Have a great time at the game. I'm going to put you back on hold for Aaron to get those tickets to you because it is time for us to take a break. Senator Tammy Baldwin is coming up in our next hour. You're up north.